Good morning, everyone. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks His face. Oh God, Jacob. This morning I want to talk to you about seeking God and being passionate for God. And I labeled my sermon, "Let's be passionate for God today." Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but today. Start today. You see, the creative force behind all great art, all great drama, all great music, all great architecture, all great writing is one thing. And that one thing is passion. You need to have passion in order for it to be great. See, nothing great is ever accomplished in life without passion. Nothing great is ever sustained in life without passion. Passion is what energizes life. Passion makes the impossible possible. Passion gives you a reason to get up every morning and say, "I'm going to do something with my life today." Without passion, life becomes boring. It becomes tiresome. It becomes a daily routine that you have to get through. It becomes dull. See, God created you with the emotions to have passion in your life. And He wants you to live a passionate life. See, passion is what mobilizes armies into action. Passion is what causes explorers to boldly go where no man's gone before. Passion is what causes scientists to find that next cure for that deadly disease. Passion is what takes a good athlete and turns him or her into a great athlete where they're breaking records. We need to have passion in our life. See, one day a man walks up to Jesus and he says, "Lord, what's the most important thing in the Bible?" "You know, the great commandment is, we've talked about it many times, I bet you," Jesus said. "I want you to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Nothing matters more than that. I want you to love me passionately. Nothing else matters in life if you don't love God passionately. He doesn't want you to love Him half-heartedly. He wants you to love Him with all your heart and your soul and all your mind and all your strength." See, I love the paraphrase of verse Mark 12:30 from the scripture reading. It says, Jesus said, "Love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy." The word passion in Greek is the word heart. You need to give your whole heart to God, not only on Sabbath mornings, every day of your life. He says, "I want you to put some muscle into it. Put some energy. Put some emotion into your relationship with me. Don't be a wimp about your relationship with us. Don't be half-hearted. Give it all you got." Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you've got to follow me with passion. You've got to give it some spark, some enthusiasm. In fact, this truth is all about the Bible. And all throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us that we're to seek God passionately. We're to love God passionately. We're to serve God passionately. We're to trust in God passionately. Colossians 3:23, he says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Here's the amazing thing. In America, it's okay to be passionate about anything except God, almost. See, I can be passionate about movies. I can be passionate about sports. I can be passionate about politics. I can be passionate about fashion and clothes. I can be passionate about restaurants. And trust me, I'm passionate about restaurants. But for some reason, it's wrong to be passionate about God. And there's something wrong there. See, I type the word passion Passion 4 into Amazon. Found a couple hundred books with that title. And it starts with, there's a book called A Passion for Birds, A Passion for Books, A Passion for Cactus, A Passion for Chocolate. I mean, that one's understandable. But A Passion for Fashion, A Passion for Fishing, for Flying, for Gardening, Golf, Hunting, Pasta, Ponies, Passion for Potatoes, for Roses, for Shoes. There's even a book called A Passion for Steam, which I couldn't get over because I don't know how could you be passionate about steam. But in our culture, it's okay to be passionate about anything except the book and the Word of God. Except your relationship with God. I can go to a concert or a rally or a baseball game and I can shout my head off. I can get excited. I can lose my voice from yelling so loud. And when my team loses, I get all upset. I might even cry. And nobody thinks it's a big deal. But when my team wins, I can jump up and dance around and wave my hands and be super excited and wear my jersey for a whole week straight because I'm just happy. And people say, man, he's a real fan. If you tend to do that at church or you tend to do that when you're reading the Word of God, people say, oh man, he's trying too hard. Or he wants people to think differently of him or higher of him. Romans 12:1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Keep that fire for God going in your life. See, it's not automatic. It's a choice. It's a discipline. It's something you must maintain. See, we're not by nature passionate about God. It's something that you must choose to do. See, you get distracted every now and then. And everything in life conspires to keep you from being passionate about God. I encourage you to keep this fire lit. To add more wood to the fire if it's burning out, if it's dwindling away. See, sometimes we become super passionate about things that we truly love. We become passionate about cars, about sports, about reading. Sometimes you're even passionate about your kids so much. About your dogs, I know I am. Except for God. See, that kind of thing, being passionate about God, has nothing to do with either your personality or age. You can't be like, oh, well, he's a young buck, so he's super passionate. Or, oh man, he has all kinds of experience because he's been here such a long time. It doesn't have to deal with that. When you first become a believer and you really understand what a good deal you've got, you get excited about it. And oh man, this is a good deal. All my sins are forgiven. I now have a purpose for living. And I now have a future home in heaven. That's amazing. And you get excited about all these things when you give your life to Christ and you're pretty passionate. But as time goes by, you begin to lose your fire. You begin to lose your enthusiasm for God. What happens? Why does that happen? That's what we're going to look at this morning. As we go through God's Word, we're looking at some of the passion killers in life. Things that rob the joy out of your life. Sometimes nobody feels very passionate about much anything. You just want to chill back, lay on the couch, eat some popcorn. Just want to be lazy. It's been one of those days. I don't want to do anything. You're losing passion. These passion killers are what keeps you from having that constant passion for God. That very first one that I want to talk today is an imbalanced schedule. That means either you're overworked or you're underworked. If either of those things are happening in your life, you're going to lose passion for life and you're going to lose passion for God. See, life is a series of seasons. The Bible says there's a season for everything and there's a rhythm to life. You need both things in your life. Both input and output. You need both rest and work. And too much of either will cause you to lose your passion. Too much work will cause you to lose your passion. Too much nothing results in a boring life. My guess is half of you need to work a little less, or half of you probably need to work a little more. See, we've all got different personalities. And you can be either, you can be to either extreme. See, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. God wants you to have a proper rest in your life. Some of you, the problem is you're always giving out. You're always helping, you're always sharing, you're always serving, you're always working, you're always being generous. And you never take time to recharge. If you never take time to recharge, you've got an unbalanced life. There's an unbalance because you work too much. And you're eventually going to become compassion fatigue. So what is that? What is becoming compassion fatigue? It's when you stop caring. You don't care about God anymore. You don't care about other people anymore. You don't care about anything anymore. Why? Because you're burning out from too much work. From too much service. When you care and care and care some more, eventually you get compassion fatigue. And then others, you're the exact opposite. You're always taking in, but never giving out. You go to Bible studies, you listen to Christian radio, you listen to tapes, you go to church activities, you go to the Christian concerts, you come to church all the time, and you're always learning, always taking in, always growing in the input, but you're not giving out. You don't have your own ministry. You haven't found your role in the church yet. I don't know which one you are today. But my guess is either you're one of those two. You either have too much output and not enough input. Or you've got too much input and not enough output. And you have to decide where you're at to try to fix that. And I guarantee you, if you pray to God, He will guide us to find out where we're at. See, Bible study without ministry is extremely dangerous. The Bible says, James 2:17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. Do you realize that the more you know about God's plan for your life, the more responsible you are to God for that knowledge? You're increasing your responsibility because God holds you accountable for what you know. So the Bible tells you that you need both in your life, input and output. You need work and you need rest. You need a balanced schedule. And what's the antidote for that? 1 Timothy 4:7. But reject profane fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. In other words, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. And how do you do that? That one word is balance. See, we all know to be physically fit, you have to have a balanced diet, and that thing's hard. having a balanced diet. But it's also hard to have a balanced spiritual life. It's not easy. But you have to work for it. You need to have a balance of God's five purposes for your life. You need to have time to worship with God. You need to have times when you fellowship with other believers. You need to have times when you read God's Word. You need to have times when you're giving out and using your abilities. And you need to have times where you're sharing your faith with others. If you tend to go to seed on one of those purposes, you have a lot of fellowship but nothing else. Or a lot of Bible study and nothing else. And that's imbalanced. And you will lose your passion. You're going to say, how come I don't feel as close to God as I used to be? The reason for that is because you're outbalanced. That's the number one reason. The second thing I want to talk to you is about an unused talent. An unused talent will cause you to lose your passion for life and your passion for God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the grace of God. Notice that God gives you certain talents, abilities, personalities, and gifts. He has made you that way. And He has given you those gifts. Those talents that you've been given are not for your benefit. They're for the benefit of other people. My gifts are for your benefit. And your gifts are for my benefit. He wants you to make a contribution with your life. God says, I have given you these gifts and talents. And that doesn't mean to abuse your gifts and talents, but to use them to benefit others. 1 Corinthians 7:7. Each one has his own gift from God. God gave you gifts and abilities and talents to use. The reality is, you're never going to find a job that uses 100% of your talent. You're never going to find a job that is 100% fulfilling, and that's really hard for me to accept. And why is that? I realize that it's because God never meant for you to be 100% fulfilled by your job. He wants you to have a role in the church. That's why you need a job in the church. Yes, we have our daily jobs, but when we come here, we're here to serve. Because no job could possibly use all the talents God has given you. See, the third thing is an unconfessed sin. And this is a big one. See, few things rob us of joy, rob your confidence, rob your passion more quickly than guilt. Here's how it works with us with guilt. We don't walk around thinking, I have a sin in my life, I'm a guilty person. We rationalize it. Consciously, we think it's okay, everybody's doing it, it's no big deal. But subconsciously, it gnaws at us. Subconsciously, whenever it gets quiet, that guilt pops into your mind. Subconsciously, right now that I'm talking about it, it begins to pop into your mind. And here's the truth about us as humans. You can't feel enthusiastic and guilty at the same time. You can't feel guilt and passion at the same time because guilt, by its very definition, robs you of passion. Psalm 38:4 and 6 says, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I am mourning all the day long. See, a lot of you work on computers. And sometimes your computer crashes. And that happened to me not too long ago. And it kind of ruins everything. They stop working. Some program tries to write the wrong thing. Or some thing goes in the wrong place, and it's gone. See, guilt does that to us as humans. It kind of makes us crash. But there's always a way to fix it. See, Levi was able to fix my computer. But God is able to fix our life. See, the starting point is to remember how God feels about you. We know it, but we forget it. Did you know that God is hopelessly in love with you? The reason that you're not passionate about God is you have forgotten how passionate God is about you. Did you know that? Did you know that God is passionate about you? He's not, oh yeah, another one of my creations. Next. He doesn't say that. He's passionate about you. He made you to love you. You were created as an object of His love. The more you understand how God is passionate about you, the more passionate you're going to get about God. See, when you forget how much God loves you, you start blowing Him off. You start saying, forget it, I've got other things to do. There's a good movie on tonight. How do we know that God is passionate about us? The proof is the cross. Jesus stretched out His hands and they nailed Him to the cross. And He was almost saying, I'd rather die than live without you. And that's how passionate He is about His creation. I made you, I love you, and I'd rather die than live without you. So how are you with your passion for God? Are you lukewarm? Are you just going through the motions? Are you just showing up? Or are you on fire for God because He loves you that much? Has there ever been a time in your life where you felt closer to God than today? If so, why? See, nobody's holding you back. The truth is, you're as close to God as you choose to be. And that's hard to swallow. Because then you start thinking about it and you're like, it's on me to want to get closer to God. It's not on anybody else. It's on me. And if I'm not close to God, it's because I choose not to be. You can be as passionate for God as you want to be. You see, without passion in your life, there really isn't life. Without a passion to live, to succeed, to have a significance, to achieve something, you might end up living your life without meaning. So the important question to ask ourselves this morning is, what gets us passionate? What gets us out of our seats, yelling and screaming, shouting? And it doesn't always have to be that way. But what gets us down to our knees, crying our eyes out, praying to God? What gets us so happy we could light up the room? And I pray that the answer to those questions is Jesus Christ. And just as I have a long way to go until I can truly say that I am passionate about God, I ask that you join me in this journey to truly become passionate for Him, to truly want to serve Him. It's not easy. It's tough. But I pray that we help each other so we can achieve that. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Thank you.